This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Brucci.
Mark Pucci with us again, retired New York City police detective. The founder and CEO of the National Institute for Law and Justice, Lori Daybell's trial. We're literally less than about, we look at this, about 2 weeks away. Jury selection starting in less than 2 weeks. I think the big question that many of us have, because there's just so much damning evidence against her and Chad, how do you defend this woman? Where do you, Mark, see the defense taking this case?
In all honesty, I mean, the only thing that I could possibly see would be that she's mentally unfit to stand trial. It's just too astounding, the chain of events that occurred, and then, alleging that somebody was even close to it being in their right mind.
Yeah, that is like the only area I think that they could take it. But we're hearing rumblings that they're not even going to touch mental health in this because they are afraid that that could work against her as well. I just don't know where they're going to go with this. There had been some speculation that maybe they're going to try and pin this on other people that were in the circle of Chad and Lori, but that are now deceased, who cannot speak up for themselves or defend themselves. But I did a little research on that, and most of the people that seem that they could potentially be involved died before Lori's children were last seen. So I don't even know where that could possibly go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I'm maybe her brother, who, allegedly, participated in burying the bodies in the backyard. And then, as you said, mysteriously has now departed. Just seems like very conveniently tying up any loose ends.
And Alex Cox is an interesting individual, to say the least, with the connections with Lori, their very odd brother-sister relationship that seemed to be going on there. Any theories on that as far as why Alex was so involved into going and killing her ex-husband, claiming it to be self-defense, and just the very strange behavior that the two of them exhibit, is that we've heard from some of the his ex-wife between Lori and Alex, and then him in the mix with Chad. Why would Alex have died? I know that it was still mysterious circumstances, and no one really quite knows, other than it was kind of natural. How do you foresee that went down?
It's just, in all honesty, I'm just baffled with the majority of all the circumstances there. I mean, obviously, there's a convergence of many occurrences, which, I guess any logical person would say cannot be coincidental. Mm-hmm. If you're alluding to, possible, maybe even incestuous relationships or things of that nature, and then bridging into, marital involvement as well. Yeah. Stranger things have happened, I could say.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's true. Do you think we're going to learn anything new about Chad and Lori in this trial?
I'm sure there's a lot of information, similar to Koberger, where the prosecution is keeping it very, very tight to the vest, so as not to let any information out that could jeopardize the prosecution. But I'm sure there's a lot of underlying information and connectors and other factors, for them to feel that they can go forward confidently.
Can testimony or things that have been discovered in Lori's case be used against Chad when he goes to trial at a later date, or would this always be separate? If they come across some testimony that really pins Lori to this and Chad, respectively, at the same time. Can those same pieces then go against Chad later?
I mean, if it's something that's admitted as evidence, mm-hmm. Co-conspiratorial, mm-hmm. It absolutely can. It will, and of course, it'll be argued, that it's prejudicial, and all different precedents will be brought out by the defense, but. Ultimately, it'll be up to the judge. And then, just similar to what we were just talking about with Murtaugh, you're always walking that fine line of, could the judge be creating, a path for, appeal?
Yeah. The Lori Daybell case expected to take 4 to 10 weeks, I believe. I'm curious with that timeline, if when Chad goes on to trial, if it's going to be a much shorter time, because is this almost the preview of Chad's trial as well, where it's going to be a lot of the same things and it's all going to be established. It's all going to be put into a nice neat box at the end of the day when this trial is done, and we'll make that one very much open and shut.
Hard to tell. And the fact that they're projecting, that type of timeline to me would indicate that they feel that there are, probably a combination of many, many individuals that they want to, introduce as witnesses, mm-hmm. As well as, a pretty substantial amount of, maybe physical evidence as well. Mm-hmm. And if I could, I wanted to just go back when you were saying, what could possible defenses be?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, because of the situation where, I know, and we had said several weeks ago, she was almost similar to like an 80s, kind of rock groupie.
Yes.
In her almost worship, but I wonder if they're going to try to introduce something related to Stockholm syndrome, with her, where, maybe this was so abusive, that at some point, the captive starts to sympathize with the captor. Maybe that could be part of her defense strategy.
Well, they would have to prove that she was being held captive in some way, shape, or form by Chad, though, wouldn't they?
Even mentally, where she was in fear.
Okay.
Of leaving. There's definitely documented cases where, let's say, quote unquote, the door wasn't locked, mm-hmm. but the captive felt so, either insecure or petrified, in leaving, that, either they or other members of their family or, whatever other level of threats had been made, where, the captive would literally, know that they were, let's say, not bound, mm-hmm. Not chained, and the door isn't locked, and they could, freely leave, but they choose not to. And that's all part of the psychological syndrome.
And that would be an interesting one to make, but I think one of the more difficult things would be trying to get Lori on board for that, considering they're still mouthing "I love you" to each other when they saw each other in court.
Yeah, it could be. But it could also be, a sign of how deep this syndrome has set in. But again, all remains to be seen with that, but they definitely have a few options that I don't think you or I believe any of them, but they still have the ability to try.
They got options. I just can't predict what they're going to be, and no one could predict what the next chapter was going to be in the story as it continues to unfold.
Very true.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Mark Pucci, thank you so much for your insights onto a case that literally, it's trying to make sense of crazy, and that can often be nearly impossible to do. We'll just have to sit back, watch, and see what happens. Love your insight on this. You can weigh in toll free by calling 888-554-5537. 888-5-KILLER is the phone number to share your insight and thoughts on any of the cases that we're following for you. The complete list can be found in the episode description. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.